the richest country in the world, and why in the world would we use criminalization? It's been proven ineffective over and over again. And actually, in this case, when there has been a retreat from arresting and fining people, like in Miami, Florida, we've seen the numbers of homelessness go down dramatically.
Yes, yes. And as Reverend Barber talked about, when there's fair wages. And, you know, one stat that really just stuck with me, Antonia, was the stat about the survey that was done 2 years ago, I guess, or recently, where people said that they surveyed every single county in America. Every single county, folks, where you're living, all, you know, for our listeners, every single county in the nation, and there wasn't one, not one county where people could make, could afford an apartment, a place to live based on earning a minimum wage. The minimum wage.
That's exactly right. The National Low Income Housing Coalition does that survey every year in a report called Out of Reach. And yes, they have found that there is not one county in this country where you can afford for a family of four, where you can afford a two-bedroom apartment working at minimum wage. And that is a horrific state for our country. That is an indication that the rent is far too high and that people in this country who are working regular full-time jobs cannot afford housing. And I'm sure your listeners listening in, this is not surprising. You know, across the country, there are folks who are struggling to pay their rent, struggling to pay their mortgage, let alone folks who have lost their housing and are experiencing homelessness. And in fact, we did some recent polling just in the last 2 months, and it found that two out of every three Americans have a personal connection, either through themselves or through someone they know, to housing instability. Two out of every three Americans. That is such a statement on the lack of housing in our country for residents who have lived here, who are working hard and just trying to survive. You know, Reverend Barber said so many wonderful things that we've been lifting up today, and I want to add one more.
Yes.
He said, we should have housing for every single person in this country, in the richest country in the world. There is really no reason why housing should be out of reach and should be unaffordable in the richest country in the world.
My, my. And when we had our training, you know, the Transformative Justice Coalition trains 100 young people to be voting rights advocates every year. We pay every bit, every dime of their expenses to come to the training, to be trained. They have to be 18 to 35 years old, a lot of Gen Zers, average age around 22 to 26, who participate. And the most powerful panel this year were, you know, the panel that we do on vulnerable voters, including those who are homeless and those who face disabilities. And one of the things I noticed when we had that panel, Caitlin, that you spoke on, I saw the young folks just fascinated, absolutely fixated on that conversation, especially when you talked about how many students are homeless. Can you just talk about that? Because people have this notion, as we've been talking about all these stereotypes, but a whole lot of people in college are homeless, have housing, severe housing instability, especially when they're not living on campus and when they're not able to be in school. Can you talk about that some, Caitlin?
Yeah, it's a huge issue. For me, I was a homeless college student sitting in my sociology class. I know this because I put it on Facebook. I had the highest grade in the class. In my sociology test, I got the highest grade in the class on the first test. And I'm sitting there, and the college professor asks, what causes people to be poor? And my classmate, who didn't know my housing status, she said, because people are lazy. I'm working 7 days a week, 2 to 3 jobs, sitting right next to her in class, having a higher grade than she does. And I'm the lazy one.
Mm.
In my story, the Department of Social Services, the people who are supposed to help me, actually told me to drop out of college because I wouldn't be able to make the curfew. I chose instead to get an education, graduating with honors in 2016, and then being able to immediately work with people like you, Barbara. There was a public park while I was homeless the first time when I was pregnant, and I woke up unexpectedly warm and feeling valued because other homeless people decided to selflessly cover me with their blankets. And in the city of Grants Pass, I would have been ticketed and arrested because there is literally nowhere at no time where people living outside can sleep with things like a blanket or pillow. I have my old college notebook. I held it up yesterday when I was talking. Inside, it has my 2014 criminal evidence and procedure class notes. On the back cover, it's a sign I made. Says, change for a chance to change. Homeless 21-year-old student. Will work for food and shelter if needed. America the Heartless. Please don't pass me by. God bless. And a decade later, I'm still begging America to once again not pass me by. Because if I was made to be powerless by being ticketed or arrested because of my housing status, I never would have had a safe and supportive place to call home, a husband and your son, Barbara, a degree, and a career. And so, you know, when we ticket and arrest people, we are preventing people from working, from paying taxes back to programs that are actually helpful, and from getting their degrees and becoming the members of society that everybody actually cares about.
Wow. Wow. Daryl, I know we've had one amazing show. We're in our last 5 minutes. Why don't we have each of our guests, give a short summary statement and tell people how they can be in contact with you. So why don't we start, Caitlin, with you?
Yes, people can follow me on, I mainly post on Twitter right now, Twitter/X, at the Caitlin Bott. That's at @TheCaitlinBott, at the Caitlin Bott.
All right. Donald Whitehead.
I can be reached at the National Coalition for the Homeless website, or you can reach me directly at dwhitehead@nationalhomeless.org. Follow me on at Donald Whitehead 2022, I think it is. But also, if you reach out directly to the National Coalition, info@nationalhomeless.org, someone will contact you. And if it's me that you want in particular, you can contact me through that vehicle as well.
And Antonia?
Definitely.
Yes.
So folks can reach me through my email, which is afasinelli@homelesslaw.org. We shared before the Law Center's Twitter handle, which is @homeless_law, or my own personal Twitter or X handle is @AKFasinelli. And I also want to lift up again the website on this case, johnsonvgrantspass.com. You can get lots of information there, including information about how to take action and get more involved in this movement. Thank you so much for having us and for covering this case. So appreciate your focus on this.
No, we are so grateful for you. And I want to ask you one other question. What do you think is going to happen next? People were running out or were calling all kind of reports from the courtroom yesterday. And you know, we heard about Gorsuch. We heard about Kagan. We heard about Sotomayor. We heard about, Kavanaugh, all of these various justices and how they were reacting to this case. Of course, we didn't hear about all of them, but What do you think is going to happen next, and what should our listeners be keeping their eyes out for?
Sure. So I certainly wish I had a crystal ball, but I don't. But what I can say was that there was robust discussion from a majority of the justices about what options, or really lack thereof, exists for unhoused residents in Grants Pass. And we heard a lot of that discussion, not just from Justices Sotomayor, Justices Kagan, and Justice Jackson, who we anticipated would have a good understanding of this case. But we also heard that from Justices Kavanaugh, Alito, and Barrett. And that was eye-opening, and that was good, that they seemed to really hone in on those lack of options for the unhoused residents and how unusual that is in this country. So I would say to your listeners, you know, we are all going to be waiting with bated breath for a decision from the Supreme Court. That decision will come out by the end of June. That is the Supreme Court's normal calendar to issue decisions by the end of June. So keep following our work. Follow the Law Center's Twitter feed at homeless_law. And as soon as the decision comes out, we will be issuing more information about it.
And Barbara, I know that we want to thank each of our guests, Antonia Fasanelli, the Executive Director for the National Homelessness Law Center, and Donald Whitehead, the Executive Director of the National Coalition for the Homeless, as well as Caitlin Arnwine, the Speaker for the National Coalition for Homeless and Organizer with TJC. You know, folks, as you listen to this conversation today, I reflect and I remember what one of our Gen Zs raised in our training in Phoenix. If you may not be unhoused today, but you may be just one injury from being
That's
unhoused.
Right.
Your family member, one injury from being unhoused. It can happen anytime, unexpectedly, to anyone. So I encourage you, we encourage you, go to your local government, find out about the availability for housing for those that are unhoused and have insecure housing. Don't be judgmental. Be proactive. Get there and be certain that people are properly housed throughout this country. Barbara, I thank all of y'all for participating in this discussion and being at the Supreme Court to be there to protest and be there to support the rights of those that are unhoused and housing insecure. Folks, until next Tuesday, noon Eastern Standard Time, off the sidewalks, into the streets. Let's get out there. Let's vote. Let's get this under control. Peace, everybody.
The preceding program was paid for by Barbara Arnwine.
Radio One presents Boss Talk, connecting with CEOs in the DMV.
My name is Dr. Lance London. I'm the CEO and president of the Carolina Kitchen. I started direct sales, door-to-door companies, selling products and services. Had a team of about 60 sales reps. 31 years ago, I sat in that office across the street from this building, got together with my sales reps. I have this concept that I put in my mind, and I know we can do it. And it's going to sell Southern cuisine. And they said, oh, yeah, well, what's the name of it, they asked. I said, well, I can see it being called, you ready for this? The Carolina Kitchen, where you get your chicken and much, much more. And they start going, whoop, 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 whoop. I said, well, there's a unit downstairs. I just got to talk to the guy that owns this building. I went to him. He said, well, you paid me all my rent since you've been there. You seem to be a good client. Well, I'm going to ask you one question. Can you give me free rent for a year? I asked, sure, I will. I'll give you rent for a whole year for free, just as long as you put a good restaurant in.
This is Boss Talk. Inspiration from CEOs right here in the DMV.
News Talk 1450 and 95.9 WOL with The Carl Nelson Show. Weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Reverend Al Sharpton keeping it real from 1 to 4 p.m. And The Tavis Smiley Show from 4 to 7 p.m. Download our mobile app and take us everywhere you are or listen live at WOLDCnews.com. The news and issues that matter to you most from Carl Nelson, Reverend Al Sharpton, and Tavis Smiley on 1450 and 95.9 WOL. WOL Washington, D.C. W240DJ Washington. 95.9 WMMJ HD3 Bethesda. WKYS HD3 Washington. WPRS HD3 Waldorf and worldwide at WOLDCNews.com.
The views and opinions of the following show do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of News Talk 1450 WOL, Radio 1 Incorporated, or their management.